5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, day 5 of the World Cup. Day 5 of the World Cup of Tea. The shocks are starting to come in, and this thing is probably not so much fun if you're these guys.
Yeah, the Krauts.
Thank you, Bob Hoskins. Yeah, the Krauts who crashed and burned yesterday. I think it was yesterday now, to Japan. We will talk about that a little bit later. And I'm allowed to say the Krauts. I am, you know. It's not that bad of a word. Anyway, they crashed and burned. We will talk about that later. Before we get started with today's show, I want to give a shout out to a couple of fans who have communicated with us through various means. Christine sent us a message via the blog and said she's going to be listening. She's a new listener. Welcome, Christine. And then via Facebook, Sarah said, "Oh, yes, I'm going to let my husband know about your show." Well, that's great, but why aren't you going to listen to the show? Anyway, talking of show, let's get on with it. So I'm going to take a slight left turn on you today. And you can already tell from my tone of voice that things today will be slightly different than the first couple of days of our odyssey through the 4 weeks of the World Cup. A different, slightly different tone, because today is Thanksgiving here in the United States of America, a country that has been very, very, very good to me for all the years I've lived here. So this is a special day where we stop and take a moment to take pause and take stock of the things that we are thankful for. I am thankful that I live in this society. It's free. It's open, liberty, love, justice for all. And as you can tell now, we are going to do a little realpolitik. No, not Real Madrid, realpolitik. I always say it that way. I think because when I see it written down, it's got a K on the end. And so I feel like somehow it's more, sophisticated. And so I say realpolitik. I'm going to ask you a question on this Thanksgiving Day. And if you are not listening in the USA, hey, happy Thanksgiving. Take a moment and take stock. Because even if you don't have this holiday, there's nothing wrong with having a day in the year where you stop and you are thankful for who you are, what you are, where you live. But I'm going to ask you today, how do you feel so far about this World Cup experience? The politics of it, they have been impossible to hide from, impossible to avoid. Gianni Infantino, our football leader of the world, telling us all that he is gay. He is a woman. He is an oppressed migrant worker. And so the rest of us should shut up and enjoy the tournament. If you're Budweiser and we're suddenly told that, hey, we're actually not going to sell your product at the games 24 hours before the games start, you're probably not too thrilled with the state of your sponsorship arrangement with FIFA, who apparently the latter went on record and says, oh, we're even closer than we were before. Sure, of course. So I'm going to ask you, how do you feel this morning about this whole thing? Or is the noise of the whistle and the crowd and the games, the tackles, the ball hitting the back of the net, is all that noise drowning out at some level your own personal standpoint? I'm here to tell you that this kind of contradiction is not a new thing. It's not a new thing when the World Cup is concerned. And we're going to take a quick trip through my own personal World Cup history, hopefully just to point out to you that where we are now in terms of the world's greatest, single greatest sporting event taking place in a country that perhaps many of us have some questions about their societal stances on many things. Well, this isn't the first time that the football fan has been put in this position. Very first World Cup for me, 1974. I distinctly remember Scotland drawing 0-0 with Zaire and everyone in England laughing at Scotland. A reflection, perhaps, of our own post-colonial view of the world. Of course, 74 was in Germany. Nazis. And I say that, and I say that actually without a hint of Monty Python about it. We were only 29 years after the war, and even now, England, more than the other home nations, continues to be obsessed with two world wars. When we were the defender of all. Before lapsing into a Brexit-induced third world emerging economy, I think, as someone recently put it. So 74, Germany, Nazis. 78. The first World Cup, I really remember watching the games and everything about it. Well, if you cast your mind back then to 1978 Argentina, South America, so there were probably some Nazis hanging around, but they were run by the junta. State police, fascists, the whole thing. Don't cry for me, Argentina. Which, as an aside, my mum is good friends with Sir Tim Rice. He who penned those famous words. He who penned Jesus Christ Superstar, just who do you think you are? That's my mum's mate, Sir Tim Rice. And no, he doesn't listen to this show because he thinks it's all bollocks. And no, don't go, oh yeah, I know who that is. I thought Phantom of the Opera. No, that's the other guy. So Argentina, 1978, there were some questions about that tournament and should FIFA be getting into bed with a government that were clearly doing things their own way. 1982, Spain, arguably my most favorite World Cup in my whole life. But the Catalonia thing, listen to me, someone, an outsider, unaffected by it. The Catalonia thing, that's part of history there, ongoing history. Still, no problem bringing in 24 teams and having a big football tournament. 86, Mexico. I don't think the only controversy there was the fact that there's not a lot of hair in Mexico. No, I'm not making jokes about the water. I mean, a lot of the games were played above 10,000 feet, and that is a struggle for many of the European and even South American teams. 1990, Italy. I don't remember any controversy about that, although I will say this. Well, they were an Axis power. 1994. The USA. Other than a whole load of people saying that it shouldn't have been in America, how wrong they were proved to be, the only other controversy, well, probably was celebrity murders. O.J. Simpson. There is a terrific 30 for 30, the ESPN series, directed by a guy called Brett Morgan. It is called June the 17th, 1994. There were three big sporting events on that day. It was the last round that Arnold Palmer played in the US Open, his last competitive round. Arnold Palmer, the golfing star before all others. It was obviously the opening day of the 1994 World Cup in Chicago when Diana Ross, in the opening ceremony, was supposed to kick a ball into the net from 8 yards and probably missed. And then that evening, because I remember where I was this day, that evening, O.J. Simpson went on the run in a white Ford Bronco with his friend Al Giddings behind the wheel. Anyway, Brett Morgan, all he did is he took all news footage from that day and he cut it all together chronologically. There's no voiceover, there's the occasional caption, and you relive, from a sporting perspective and a societal perspective, a really big day in the nation's history. France, 98. Can't think of any anything controversial with that decision. 2002, South Korea, Japan. The first time the World Cup was co-hosted, not a bad thing. But obviously, FIFA showing, rightly or wrongly, that they're not afraid to dip their toe into a bit of realpolitik, knowing even now how one has to tread lightly in that part of the world. 2006, back to Germany. Don't think there were any homegrown Nazis in 2006. South Africa, 2010, at the front end, a great decision by FIFA to take the World Cup to a part of the world where it could make a difference. Here's my problem with 2010, is that when FIFA left, when they loaded up all the cash that they'd made and rode out of town, South Africa were left with a bill that they are still paying off. stadium sitting, crumbling concrete. Great for South Africa at the front end. Not so good if you're South Africa now still paying off the bill. 2014, back to Brazil. There couldn't have been any Nazis left by 2014 unless they were sons and daughters of Nazis. Finally, 2018, Russia, and that speaks for itself. So look, I'm being slightly throwaway here, but FIFA showing up in places and bringing their big tournament to parts of the world under the name of we're going to make everyone better, yeah, no. This is not a new thing for FIFA. And I'm not suggesting that the intent is wrong. I do think sports, to a certain level, can hopefully leave a change on society. I do think so. But in this instance, who are we kidding? The host nation's attitudes to certain things, well, that's their right. But putting the rest of us, bringing the rest of us into that situation, bringing the players into that situation, bringing sponsors into that situation, I'm not entirely sure that's a great thing. I'm not entirely sure that's a positive thing. Especially when this very same people who at one moment are saying sport can change things are telling all of us to be a little bit more respectful to the hosts. Shut up and play. Enjoy the games. And that does put the likes of me in a little bit of a quandary. Yeah, look, I've got a social conscience. No, I'm no limousine liberal. No, I'm worse than that. I'm a steel toe cap socialist. Because here's the news. And I know we don't do politics on the Atlantic Voice, but I'm going to be very upfront about who I am. Because I do feel strongly about this, knowing what I know about what has happened for this World Cup to take place. Who knows? The number that 6,000 migrant workers died, that may not be accurate. But I know the official number of 11 or 17 or whatever it is, that's not accurate either. And any number higher than one is a disgrace. Any number higher than one is inhumane. That someone getting paid a dollar an hour or less than that has died for this to take place. Yeah, I'm a steel toe cap socialist. I believe in the minimum wage. I believe in workers' rights. I believe that an employer should look after his or her employees. And while I've never been a member of one, I believe in the unions. And you know something? I get to say all of that. Because like many of you out there, I've done a whole load of traditionally blue-collar paid-by-the-hour jobs. I've packed boxes. I've unloaded trucks. I've worked in construction. I've pushed a trolley in the mailroom. I've picked up dog poop. No. I'm no Che Guevara, but you know something? No, I do believe in certain things. And yeah, I've got a problem with the fact that the host country and FIFA have jointly been so dismissive of what has occurred. Am I going to sit here and say to you that all kinds of faceless executives and a government in a country a long way away from where I am fortunate enough to live, am I going to sit here and tell you that they've got blood on their hands? Maybe. Because the trouble is, well, maybe I do too. Because as a football fan, I'm happy to sit there and watch four games in a day. I'm happy to fill out my chart. I'm happy to throw my figs around. I'm happy to talk to you every day, all in the name of this great event. And this is the quandary that we all find ourselves in. Maybe, just maybe, we, the sports fan, have blood on our hands too. Of course, as Johnny Cochran might say, better than having blood on your glove.
You know, I know you have a betting system for other things.
Yes.
I think I have a betting system for if Zeff ever says he's going to do something in a certain amount of time, take the over.
Thank you, my partner, executive producer of this here show. Let's lighten the mood a little. I know I've been slightly unnecessarily heavy today, but I figured it was Thanksgiving and it is a serious day to a certain extent. We're with our friends, we're with our family, and I hope wherever you are, you have a fabulous Thanksgiving. And I just felt we should take a moment amongst all the frippery to just take a little stock. Anyway, though, as my partner has just announced, it is that time of the day when we need to check in with our fig collection. Now, I'm sorry, I'm reaching for my little book that keeps track here. We are 2 days in a row where things have not been great. Germany, oh dear, lost 2-1, which went completely against what the odds makers had put out there. I think the odds makers had them like a overwhelming favorite to win the game, which was why we threw a fig on Germany to nil. So, of course, that's gone up to Swanee. And so that fig, that has gone, way gone. We will have to find another way to get it back. We're still up 2.5 figs, though, if you've gone with the house here. So, obviously, let's see. There is only one game tomorrow that should really count. It's these guys.
Go, go, USA!
Against these guys. Yeah, that's that new cut there. And if that sounds vaguely familiar to you, that is from The Italian Job. I'm using all kinds of stuff from films that half of you are sitting there going, I don't know any of these. Well, no, not half of you. Nearly all of you are going, I have no idea what the heck he's talking about right now. I do promise sometime in the third week when the tournament sort of opens up a little bit and we all have room to breathe, that I will come back and do a history of all these references. Anyway, England USA tomorrow. There is no other game that this show is gonna talk about. I'm not gonna go sideways on you and go, oh yes, well, get your cash out for Wales Iran. No, it's England USA. Funnily enough, though, the markets for this game have been honed dry. They've been, I don't think that's not the word. It's the markets have been either sharpened. I think that's the phrase that the pro fig players use. The markets have been sharpened to the point that there's no value to be found, meaning that whatever you put down, the odds are never quite going to reflect the true probability of what will occur. Also, I always get leery whenever England plays someone that I have a sort of a personal attitude with. And what I mean by that is this. England, Iran, yeah, I'm taking England. England, USA, oof, that's a bit dodgy there. Just because I live here. England, Scotland, oh, I'm a bit nervous about that. It's a home nation. England, Australia, ooh, these guys are going to be fired up to beat us. So I unnecessarily put myself in a place where I become leery of the matchup. But I have gone through and seen there, and I'm now going to take this number for you. I was able to find at minus 110, which is the standard 2-1, no, evens bet, under 2.5 goals. So that's what the Atlantic Voice is telling you to do. Put your fig on under 2.5 goals. I don't think this game's actually going to have a lot of goals in it. I don't. Just because England hammered 6 in the other day, that don't mean nothing. And I actually think it's going to be quite tense and quite tight. And I think, you know, the game won't have too much in it. So there's my prediction. Okay, that's it. Time to get out of the show. Let me see what we are going to play for you today. All right, this is the Beat Nuts and Watch Out Now. I wanted something a little bit jaunty because I did get a little bit heavy on you. I did promise to talk more about our friends the Germans going down to Japan. Unlike Argentina yesterday, 2 days ago, who I still feel have their fate in their hands, I think the road is about to get pretty tough for the Germans because they still have to play Spain and Costa Rica, who they should beat. But that Spain game, all of a sudden, that's all the marbles. All the marbles. I think they've really got to win that to go through. If they don't, they're going home. Even if they're to beat Costa Rica, I think they're going to go home if they cannot beat Spain. So those of you playing World Cup bingo, I told you yesterday to be not too hasty to scratch off the big team goes home box. I think today is a slightly different animal. I actually think you might be able to fill it out. Anyway, I hope you guys have a terrific Thanksgiving if you're in the US. And if you're somewhere else in the world, well, just have a nice meal with your family. Take stock and smile and think, yeah, my life's not bad. We will see you tomorrow on the World Cup of Tea. So in the words of our absentee executive producer, take care.